And if you want them to do more, I think that was the last one they made for a while. So if you want them to do more, you just kind of say, hey, you should do more. And because we've been really encouraged by that. Well, today, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Psalms chapter 71. And that will be our passage for this morning's service. And I just want you to know a few things right before we start. Next week, we're going to start our summer series called 10 Tough Questions. And we're going to actually be looking at 10 questions or barriers or objections that people have towards the gospel. So we're going to start with a introductory message to that next week. And then the week after that, we're going to start tackling some of those issues. So the first one that we'll talk about 2 weeks from now is the problem of hell. And we're going to actually talk about what God says about it and why people don't like it. I know I don't like it. I don't think anybody really does, and I think that's the point. But it can be a barrier to people coming to know Jesus. So we're going to find out what Scripture says about it and talk about that. But today, we're going to have one more sermon or message in the series, A Heart for the Home. And we're going to be reading from Psalm 71. And what I want you to know about Psalm 71 is that it is often referred to as the Psalm of an Old Saint. Okay? So we don't really know who wrote it, but it's supposed to be written from the perspective of someone who has followed God for their entire life. So if you remember, some of you have those stories where you kind of grew up Christian, and you've always been a Christian since you were 4 years old, and you kind of followed Jesus all your life. That's sort of this guy, right? So it's not a psalm about death. It's not a psalm about death. It's a song about getting old and approaching death. So I want you to follow along with me. It's on screen here. It says this, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me and incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come and have given the command to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked and from the grasp of the unjust and the cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust. O Lord, you are from my youth. Upon you I have leaned before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually before you. I have been set as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, and you will continue with glory for all the days. Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult me and say, God has forsaken him. Let's pursue him and seize him, for there is no one that can deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O God, make my haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed and scorned with disgrace. May they be covered but I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness and acts of your deeds of salvation all the days, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I come to proclaim your might to another generation. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the high heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you." Would you join me as we pray? Father, this morning when we come, and as we open your word, we ask that we would seek truth and wisdom from your word. We want to know your will and your way. Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you right now to do a work in our hearts this morning. Each and every one of us are in need of your touch today. Each and every one of us are in need of some sort of level of healing or encouragement or strength and help. Give us hope for our lives to this day. I'm praying that you're going to give it to us and you're going to do a mighty work here. In Jesus' name, Amen. This is the reading of God's word. A couple of weeks ago, can you hear me okay? Am I all good? All right. A couple of weeks ago, I was going to end our series on Heart for the Home on Father's Day. But as I spent time watching the news and hearing about care homes, I began to realize that there is one group of people in the home that we rarely talk about anymore, and I'm not really sure why. The people that I'm referring to actually are people who are entering into a stage of life where they are growing old and approaching death. So I'm talking about our older people, our plus 65 crowd. Here's the interesting thing I've noticed about this crowd, is that they are the fastest demographic attending churches today. And yet, churches tend to put their primary energy into families. You think about how most churches function. There's a children's pastor, a youth pastor, a young adults pastor, and maybe if the church has enough resources, there is an old age pastor. They usually call them generational ministries, right? And what I've come to realize is whether you're 25 or 75, every age needs Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I've really sensed that the Lord is asking us to stop and think about this as a church this morning, because millions and millions of Christian men and women, both in the United States and Canada, are going to be ending their formal careers in their 50s and 60s. And yet for most of them, there will be a good 20 years before their physical and mental powers fail. And what we need to ask ourselves this morning is what will it mean to live those final years for the glory of God? I think that's really important. We don't talk about that enough in church. And that's something that most of us are going to have to face at some point as old age. So with that being said, what I want to do this morning is I want to give four convictions from Scripture about what God says about old age. Now, these are kind of, you know, I'm flying at probably 10,000 feet here. There's a lot that the Scripture has to say about growing old. But when I can't cover all of it, I mean, I could do an entire series about it, but these are the four that, from this psalm and from other passages, that I think are really important both for us who are in the state of old age and us as a church who have young families is important to know. So with that being said, here's number one, and that's this, is that you are not forgotten. You need to hear this. In your old age, you are not forgotten. Here's what's interesting about this passage, is when you read this psalm, there's not one, not two, but three times in this passage where the psalmist goes before God and says, God, don't forsake me. Don't forget about me. Don't abandon me. He's really worried that God is not going to be there. Whenever you see a theme, a passage in Scripture show itself or some wording, you have to actually say, hey, look, it repeats itself and therefore is important. So what we know is that this fear of being abandoned by God is something that's a very real threat or worry for this psalmist. And you know what, friends? I think there is a real fear out there that the older we get, the more we feel that we are forgotten and forsaken by people. During COVID, the single largest group of people that died were the elderly in care homes. Reports from the Canadian military cited that there were long-term care homes where the people were left alone with no help. Some resorted to sitting in their own excrement for days on end. And I remember that this is something that's not just unique to our pandemic, but this is something that happens in care homes regularly. I remember 10 years ago, the church that I was ministering at that time had asked me to go and visit some of the stay-at-home people in our church who were in care homes. And so I did, and I went to go visit this one in Burnaby, BC, where there was a member of our church, and I asked where our room was, and it was the very last room on the left at the end of the hall. And so I started walking that way, and right in the middle of the hallway, it was just really awkward, was this elderly woman in a wheelchair. She's just sitting right in the middle of the hallway. It was just really awkward. And so, not wanting to be rude, I just kind of said, "Hey, how are you?" And that was going to be the end of it, and I moved on. And she just grabbed me by my hand and said, "Sir, can you change my diaper? I haven't been changed for a day." And I could see it. I could see it. There's lots of loss. And that experience really shaped the way that I think about care homes and how we care about elderly. When my grandma and grandpa, they own this, they're very proud people. And they own this home in Vancouver. And it makes prairie homes look like luxury homes. They couldn't take care of it in their old age. In fact, there was a day when my grandma, she was trying to take care of the home and she fell. And she couldn't get up. And what had happened is she was left there for like 8 hours because no one knew. No one knew. Well, when that happened, my parents tried to convince them that you need to go to a care home, right? But they've heard the stories too. And they didn't like the idea of going in a care home any more than I did. And I think when you think about life, I think that we really live for the middle age experience, don't you? You spend the first 20 or 30 years of your life working to attain everything that you want, and then you have that middle age kind of, you know, part of your life where you do have everything you want. You got a little bit of wealth, you're kind of relationally mature, you should be, you kind of know how to hold down a job, you have the wife or the husband or the kids and all that, and you get to enjoy that for about 20, maybe 30 years, and then you hit 65 or even 60 and you start losing it all. And then every decade after that, you begin to lose something, right? It starts actually when you're in your 50s. I remember my own father was laid off of work at 59 years of age, and he spent the last 6 years trying to look for work. He had experience out the wazoo, but you know what young people and older people share in common when it comes to the job market? Nobody wants to hire them because no one wants to train them. And that's what happened with my dad. Like, you spend so much time losing in your old age. You lose your employability. You might even lose the ability to do your job altogether. You might lose your eyesight. Some of you might even lose your driver's license. If you have to move into a care home, you might lose your house that you spent so much time and energy paying off or even building. You lose your physical strength. You lose your health. You lose your friends as they die. You lose your closeness with your own family. You might even start to lose your common sense or your memories. Or you might even actually start to lose who you are in Jesus. I remember that there were some people in our previous church who had a really, really bad case of dementia. So much so that they were the godliest people I've ever met. They loved Jesus and the whole nine yards, and they were faithful. But as the dementia set in, they became atheistic in their thinking. You might even start losing your respect. Old age is really seen as a season of loss. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a second. If you're entering into a season of life where you're going to be losing things for 20 years, what kind of toll do you think that's going to take on you? It would be really easy to fall into a state of depression, wouldn't it be? But then you come to church. At the end of it, and you think, I'm losing everything. I still have church. And then that church hires some hotshot young guy. And all of a sudden, things start changing, right? The chairs change, COVID changes, the songs change. And you're like, what's going on here? And here's what I need you to understand by this. I know I'm taking a long time to talk about this, but this is probably the key thing I want you to get to know. I want you to know that while you may lose everything in your life you hold dear, you will never lose God's love for you. God's heart is for his people. God loves people at any stage. Jesus loves the little children. He loves single people. He loves married people. And God loves people in their old age. People in their old age need Jesus just as much as the teenagers do. And my heart for Manor really is that we are a multi-generational sense in the church, in the truest sense of the word. That no generation, whether you're a child, a teenager, a single person, or a young adult, feels excluded here at Manor. I want to make sure that everyone knows that there's a place for them at the table of Jesus. It is so important for me to do that. So I want you to know something. Here's what God says in Isaiah: even into your old age and gray hairs, I am he who sustains you. I've made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. You need to hear this. You may lose your money, your health, your farm, your spouse. You may lose your favorite songs in church. You may even lose your mind, but you will never lose God. Your salvation is firm and secure, for I am convinced that neither death nor life will be able to separate you from the love of God. And we should remember that as a church. Like, God has a plan for you in your old age. And that leads me to my second point, which is this, is you are not useless. You are not useless. Verse 15 says this: my mouth will tell of your righteous acts and of your deeds of salvation all day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord, I will come and I will remind them of your righteousness alone. Verse 18: so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. You, friends, who are entering into old age, and you who are in your 30s and 40s, and you who are in your 20s, you need to hear this. When you enter into old age, God still has a job for you. He does. Sometimes we enter into career retirement, and we also enter into spiritual retirement. And what I mean by that is this. I mean that there is a temptation to back off from church involvement in spiritual responsibilities when we hit retirement age. It sounds like this: I've spent my 30s and 40s being burnt out and busy. I've done my time in the children's ministry and the worship ministry. I deserve a break. And here's what I need you to hear with this. In middle life, we often experience an overload of activity. There's a lot of work, a lot of tension at the home, and demanding responsibilities at the church. And when you back off in your old age, what you wind up doing is you put the pressure even more on sort of that 25 to like 50 age group to do everything in church. You have a job. In their mind, they think, I'll do some spontaneous volunteer work as I have time, but I just don't want to be tied down to regular duties. But the problem is, as they drift away from involvement, pretty soon older people don't feel as much a part of the church, and their relationship with God wanes. In the Bible relates this with Eli, the high priest, who got complacent in his old age. He turned over his priestly duties to his irresponsible sons, and tolerated when they exploited women who came to worship and stole meat from the sacrifices. And this is what God says: because you have honored your sons more than me by failing to restrain them, and because you have fattened yourself by eating their stolen meat, I am cutting short the influence of your family, and you will die in disgrace. There is a temptation, like Eli, to become self-indulgent and spiritually passive when we enter our senior years. But I want you to hear this. Many people are just hitting their stride by the time that they enter 55 years of age. In 2002, a study was raised about the top money maker entertainers in 2002. And this is what they found. The first 10 artists on the tour were all over 50. Number one was Paul McCartney at 61. Number two was Mick Jagger at 60. Number three was Cher at 57. Neil Diamond at 62, you would have to go down to number 14 before you found someone under the age of 35. Like, you see, the concept of retirement only applies to how you make money. But when it comes to doing good works for the kingdom of God, God still has a plan for you. And your plan in the calling that you have as an older person is to proclaim, according to the next psalmist, the good works of God to the next generation. In other words, your job and your mission in your old age is to communicate to the rest of us and answer that question, is it worth it following Jesus for my entire lifetime? That's something that I can't answer experientially because I'm not there yet, but you can. I want to know, is it worth spending the time? Is it worth coming to church? Is it worth making the sacrifices that Scripture tells us to make? In the end, when I'm nearing it, is it worth it? You have a job to do. What if the best ministries at Manor were done by the oldest among us? What if they wouldn't? That would be so cool. Well, if you're wondering, well, Dan, I'm not really sure I can hang out with youth. If they throw a dodgeball at me, I'm going to break a hip. Don't play dodgeball then. Okay? Whatever your health allows you to do, do it for the glory of God. You know what? There are people that graduate from high school all the time here. What if you adopted a grad for a year? Okay? What if you took a grad and you said, you know what, I'm going to pray for this person, and if they're in town, maybe a couple times during the year, I'm going to invite them over for dinner. What if you did that to the college students? College students are hungry. Like, they'll sit through your stories. There's a ministry for you, and it's to proclaim to us that it is worth it to following Jesus. And that is something that no other age group can do. Okay? Number three, old age requires continual spiritual growth. This comes actually from Titus chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. And it says this, older men ought to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, and in love and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slave to much wine. They have to teach what is good and so train young women to love their husbands and children. And there are three barriers that I typically see to doing that in your old age. Number one is resistance to change. Number two is a critical spirit. And number three is worry. So let me really talk about this really quickly because I don't want to bog us down too much. I want to say, first and foremost, I want to say thank you to everyone who had to adapt during COVID. And who still has to. I know that for some of us, even those who are online, trying to watch the service online is like a headache. And you've had to try to learn to use all this technology, and you just kind of wish that it wasn't there, and just kind of go back to the way things were, and you tried anyway. And I want to say a big thank you for willing to change on that. Here's my take on older people. No generation in history has experienced as much dramatic change as the generation of seniors that we're seeing. Think of the technology that we've witnessed. Airplanes, televisions, computers, cell phones, the internet. In fact, I made a list of all the technologies that were invented and became obsolete in my lifetime. You ready for this? Here we go. Fax machines. CDs. Who buys CDs anymore? They're the Betamax cartridges of this generation. Videotapes, like VHS. You guys remember those? I think there's one downstairs, actually. Internet chat rooms. Email. And I know we still use email, but I say this because most teenagers don't use email anymore except to communicate with old people. And that would include me. Music videos playing on MTV. The Walkman. Answering machines. You guys remember those? The little tape? And the little corny messages everyone leaves. Dial-up modems. Came and went. Like, personal pagers. Palm Pilots. Laser discs. You guys know what laser discs are? They're massive, like, record DVDs, and they were supposed to be high definition. Back then, I guess, those all came and went. And you think about people who have lived during the 40s and 50s and 60s, and then take all the technology they've seen, they have seen so much change. But the truth is that the older we get, the more inclined we are to get into a rut of routine, to the point where we instinctively resist change because it takes us out of our comfort zone. We want the same parking place, the same seat, the same songs, the same program, because we feel comfortable with them. But we need to accept change in order to progress. Abraham was 75 when God said to him, "I want you to move." And Abraham agreed, and from that point on, his life became an adventure. There was little certainty, but there was a lot of service and significance. We have to understand that in order to grow closer to Jesus, we have to fight our resistance or to stay the same. Secondly, there is a critical spirit that sometimes creeps up on us. It's one of those temptations that intensifies as we get older. Our patience gets thinner and we gripe about unpleasant circumstances. And we often feel a loss of influence and criticize people who are now in charge. Criticism is sometimes a way of getting attention. Criticism comes second nature to all of us, but it kind of gets worse as we get older. It sounds like this: "I wish they'd just discipline their child more. Do you see that dress she's wearing in church? That's embarrassing. Why does the preacher use notes? The other preacher didn't." Like, in the Bible, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, had a wonderful and cooperative wife. But it seems the older she got, the more critical she became. At age 60, she became impatient with God for not fulfilling his promise of a child. Then she criticized Abraham for not doing anything about it. We have to have a positive attitude. And lastly, worry can get in the way of spiritual growth. The older you get, the more temptation there is to be anxious about tomorrow. One reason is that there are more physical problems. Every ache you think, "This could be the big one. This could be cancer. I don't have enough insurance. I hate going through chemotherapy. I'll probably die a slow and painful death." And that is before you, and that is all, "I better go see the doctor." And you worry as you get older. You fret. You waste your energy and time. You hoard your money to protect yourself. And you refuse to take any risk because of fear. You turn to pills or alcohol to calm down, or you lie awake churning about it. Or maybe even today, you go to Dr. Google. Right? Jesus asked, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Did you ever watch people... to life. We have to understand that God has us. Worry isn't overcome by pretending that nothing bad is ever going to happen, because that's unrealistic. Worry is overcome by trusting that God will care for you regardless of what happens. And lastly, people in old age need our help. Listen to what Psalmist says in Psalm 71. "In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock and refuge to which I may continually come." In our verse, the psalmist is asking God for help. And as baby boomers age, there is going to be some huge needs that we need to address as the church. Think about long-term care homes, people's health, people's ability to make money, and the continual worry about living on less and less. Older people will need our help. And by the way, us as young people, we can help older people. It sounds like this. We can help them by making promises or commitments, by saying something like this: "When you forget your own address and find yourself on strange streets, we'll sell your car and I'll drive you to the places you need to go. When the words on the menu don't match the pictures in your mind and you keep ordering things you won't eat, then I'll order the food that I know you'll enjoy, like you did for me when I was a child. When finding your way at church is frightening, I'll take you to your class and pick you up and let you sit in with me in big church, like you did for me when I was a child. When hot and cold faucets confuse you, I'll put you in a tub of warm water and give you a bath, like you did for me when I was a child. When you forget who people are and you can't tell your family from total strangers, I'll be your memory and tell you their names, like you did for me when I was a child. And lastly, when you forget who I am, not just my name or my birthday, but that you ever had children, and then there isn't much I can do but go somewhere and cry. And I will pray for you, like sometimes you did for me as a child. Friends, God cares for old people. He cares for us in our old age. We have to remember that you're not forgotten, that you're not useless, that you still have a job to grow closer to Jesus in your old age. And we will be there to help. You might lose everything. You might lose everything that you've gained in this life, but you will never lose Jesus. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be a day where there will be no more death or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. In closing, I urge you to search your heart, the whole church, because this isn't just a message for us as older people. This is a message for the entire church. And I want you to ask these two questions here. Number one, is there some older people in the church I have not prized as I should? I want you to think about that. Maybe even pray about it. Ask the Lord right now where you're sitting. God, bring to mind someone in their old age that I have not honored as much as I should. Have I risen up in respect before the gray among us? And then the second question, have I slipped into an unchristian way of thinking about my retirement and neglected to dream God's big dreams for me in these crucial years? What ministry or service is God calling me to this fall? It doesn't have to be here in Manor, but people need to serve. I mean that. Have I slipped into an unchristian way of thinking about retirement? Or is there a person that I should have not prized as someone should? I want you to just take a minute. I'm gonna do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head and just go before God and pray those two questions to him right now. God, have I thought about my entire retirement in a way that is not aligning with your word? And as a younger person, am I valuing the elderly among us? Just take a time and ask the Lord what he thinks about that.